Welcome into the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Got a good show for you here on a Thursday, folks. Just a couple of housekeeping notes before we jump into today's program. I want to remind you guys, two brand new websites that I want you to check out. DarknessRadioShow.com has all the archives going back for the last 16 years of Darkness Radio. I know you may be saying, well, there may be a year or two that's missing there. Sure there is. But those are getting uploaded here starting at the beginning of the year, the end of the year 2022, beginning of the year 2023. And some of those years will be filled in. You may say, well, why the big delay, Tim? Well, I'll give you a big mystery, guys. I'm not going to tell you. How's that? No, I'm just being facetious. Actually, there's been a little bit of a delay because it takes time to put it this way. You're getting the director's cut of these podcasts because they were at one time shared property of us and iHeartRadio. So there has to be some editing that's done before we can represent them in podcast form, including musical rights. Yeah, because you can't air commercial songs when you don't have an ASCAP BMI license. So that has to be edited down a little bit so we can get rid of that pesky commercial music. I know the commercial music you all loved and the bumpers you all loved, I'm sorry, aren't going to appear in those episodes, so you have to wait for those for a little bit. The other thing is True Crime Tuesday now has a website. That's right, it's official truecrimetuesday.com. Go to official truecrimetuesday.com if you'd like to hear the archives from 2017 on of True Crime Tuesday. That's not including present day True Crime Tuesday. That's just True Crime, official True Crime Tuesday from when we were on Patreon up until 2021, I believe. But all those archives when we were on Patreon are now free and available at officialtruecrimetuesday.com. So check those out. And those two new websites are there. Also, if you are subscribing or if you have the Apple app for Darkness Radio, it is overhauled. It's brand new, all new material on there and all new stuff. By all means, if you don't have it and you have an Apple phone, go to your Apple App Store and get the Darkness Radio app. It's got all new stuff on it. And boy, is it cool. That's all I'll tell you. Just see for yourself. Go download it. Take a spin through it. And you'll be able to access the True Crime Tuesday archive there. And you'll be able to get your brand new downloads of Darkness Radio, including this show, at the Apple app, the Darkness Radio Apple app, if you have it on your phone. So there you go. Let's, without further ado, bring in our guest. We've got a good one today, and we want to get right to him. I had the opportunity to take a look at a movie yesterday that I kind of got a soft spot for, I'll tell you that. You know, we every once in a while need to take a different look at things in the paranormal and take a different look and be told a nice story at the same time about things that happen in the paranormal. And one of those things that we kind of delve into and look at times are curses. And there's a movie out there, a Japanese movie with subtitles, that talks about curses and brings it in through the story of a divine protector named Master Salt. And I got a chance to watch this movie, and I really got enthralled with it. And I got to sit with this movie and really get drawn into it. So we're going to talk with the producer of The Divine Protector, Master Salt Begins, and also a happy science lecturer, Yoichi Utebi, who is on the show today. And we'll talk not only about the movie itself that I got a chance to look at this just yesterday, but we're also going to talk about the subject of curses itself and how curses not only are, let's say, a subject of magic, but also a subject of the mind within and how we actually generate those curses ourselves and how we generate them from within and take them without and how we can actually bring those curses upon ourselves and bring them upon other people. So that's what we'll talk about on today's show. Our guest, Yoichi Utebi, is a producer and world lecturer for Happy Science. He was born in Japan in 1968. Utebi grew up in Beirut, Lebanon, and New York City. He was raised in a rare Japanese Christian family. He was deeply touched by Muslim culture and the beauty of Lebanon during his formative years in Beirut. However, the Middle East also exposed Utebi to the horrors of war as he and his family dodged bullets and bombings before fleeing to London and back to Japan, leaving everything behind in a sudden evacuation. In the seventh grade, Utebi moved to New York for 10 years, where he was exposed to friends from multiple cultures and ethnicities. His rock band produced a popular album and gained quite a following in the city before Utebi decided to forego his musical pursuits and return to Japan. After 12 years of experience in marketing and senior management at various American IT companies in Japan, Utebi then joined Happy Science in 2010, where he quickly rose to Director of International Communications. Utebi is currently a minister and world lecturer for Happy Sciences and a producer on the movie we're going to talk about today, The Divine Protector, Master Salt Begins. Let's welcome in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Here's Yoichi Utebi. Yoichi, thank you so much for joining me today.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Hello, everybody on the show. Thank you for having me.
Yoichi, you have. Let's talk a little bit about your background before we jump into things.
Sure.
You had quite the, there's only 2 years really separating us, but I think you've had a much richer life than I've ever had growing up.
Interesting, yes.
Beirut to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you want to talk about a chaotic life to start things out.
Yeah. But my father was working for major trading company in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I had no choice but just to follow him, as a part of a family. And so Lebanon, Beirut, because he had some business there, we went there. I was there about 4 or 5 years. I was very young, mm-hmm. 3 years to maybe second grade. But Lebanon was one of the most beautiful. Yeah. Beirut was the most beautiful, like heaven on earth.
Really? Like
kind of place, yeah. We used to live by the Mediterranean Ocean. Mm-hmm. So peaceful, and it was just so, so beautiful. But one day, internal war, it's like a religious war in Lebanon, Beirut, started to get worse and worse and worse. So mm-hmm. we had to evacuate. The Japanese government told us, everybody pack your bags, get on the plane tomorrow. We're like, tomorrow? Okay. So we just jump on the plane because, we used to have a lot of a fight, actual fighting going on, like right down the street from us or right below the apartment we used to live in. So it got a little worse at the end. So
tell me just quickly, because it mm-hmm. for someone who, and I know this seems like an odd concept, especially after 9/11, but for somebody our age, up until 9/11, we had no idea what terrorism was like. We had mm-hmm. no idea.
Yeah.
And for me, even the concept of being attacked on American soil is foreign. I mean, you go through your pat down at the airport or whatnot, but the idea I still have this as a 52-year-old man. I have this insular idea that my security, that I'm safe no matter where I go. Tell me what it's like, especially as a young child, to hear fighting down the street and to never have really a real sense of security. What is that like?
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting because when the fight started to going on. It has nothing to do with terrorism, by the way. It has nothing to do with people in the Middle East.
Oh, no. I'm just saying a fight.
Yeah,
I'm
nicest saying, people in this world.
Right. Anyway, I'm just saying a fight. A fight. Yeah.
So,
violence.
So when it started to shooting, bullet could hit us through the apartment, right?
Right.
So we used to sit right in the middle of a hallway where the bullet will not be able to reach us from anywhere, from the window. Mm-hmm. So we used to, like, almost like a family would hide there for like a few hours until the government army comes in to stop this little small conflict, just conflict they had among each other. Then it will settle down. So after that, we start to move around. And in the morning, you see like the bullets. When it hit the walls, like they're like everywhere around the house. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So what I used to do when I was a young kid at that time was I used to go downstairs and we used to pick up the shells after the fight. because shells are usually empty.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we pick up the empty shells in a bag, or sometimes you get this lucky shell. Well, sometimes they flip out without shooting out. Mm-hmm. So there's actually bullet inside. So that's like it's a hit shell. So we used to pick up, we got the real bullet, and we used to, have fun with that. And we used to climb up on like a, the machine with the caterpillars, the tanks.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Tanks, yeah. Tanks would be sitting, resting by the ocean, by the sea, or the road by the sea. And so we used to go up there and talk with the army guys, and we used to climb up on the tanks and things like that, like a jungle gym, right?
Yeah.
It was fun, but it really gave me a little bit of shock without me knowing it. So when I went back to Japan, and I was walking right under the train rail, uh-huh. There's a little path that sometimes you go under. There's a lot of trains in Japan. So right. When I was walking down under the train rail, the train just happened to pass by me right in head on top of myself, mm-hmm. and I dodged. Because it sounded like a bullet.
Yeah.
It's just like this, you just remember something in deep inside, and it dodged. I thought it was, so my parents were like, "What are you doing?" No, I was like, "Oh my God, I thought it was a bullet."
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It gives me a little shock when I was as a child. So.
Sure. Well, I mean, you're conditioned. I mean, there's certain things, when especially when you're young, you condition uh-huh. yourself for certain survival tactics or techniques, to keep yourself.
Interesting, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep the yourself good thing safe. About that is that since then, I just hate to fight.
Sure.
I just can't stand fighting with somebody and, having argument and things like that. So mm-hmm. because of that great experience I had, beautiful land, mm-hmm. Lebanon, Beirut, and also going through extensive war, I became a very, very peaceful person.
Right. Well,
helped me.
Yeah. Well, I bet it did. I bet it did. It's funny. They say you either become a part of your environment or you repel against the environment.
Repel against it, right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. It's interesting to see people that are raised in different environments, mm-hmm. what becomes of them, because they pick one path or another, and it's
That's
really
right.
cool to see how they turn out based on that. So the Muslim culture really, and as you're talking about the beauty of Lebanon, really in your formative years, mm-hmm. influences you heavily. What was it about the Muslim culture that really touched you?
You're not supposed to go into a mosque. If you're not a Muslim, that's mm-hmm. You just can't. You're not supposed to, right?
Right.
But we had a very good friend, a lot of friends, and they were like, I think it's good you guys experience mosque. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they did it, but they negotiated with the priest or something, and they allowed us to walk into a mosque. So just once, but I experienced mm-hmm. the mosque. And as you mentioned, I was a Christian, Protestant Christian. My parents were like a really, really heavy Christian, mm-hmm. yep. Very strong faith Christian. So we used to go to church every Sunday, things like that. But so as a child, I just felt like Christianity and Muslim, it's the same, mm-hmm. It's the same God for some reason. I just felt the same.
Sure.
And the energy of the comfortness and the warmness that you feel when you walk, if you're a church Christian, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If you walk into a church, you just feel this warmth,
yeah.
Jesus. And and it's the same with Muhammad. Mm-hmm. I just felt the same energy. I was still very, very young, mm-hmm. but I guess because I was young, I was really sensitive to spirituality. So at that time, I realized it's something just, struck me. It's the same. There's no difference in believing in something higher. Higher energy. Sometimes people call God, Allah, mm-hmm. Jesus, Buddha. Mm-hmm. They're all at the end of the day, they're all coming from one source. That's the belief I got when I was very, very young. But again, without the consciousness, those are the things that happens in the subconscious. So when I grew up and started studying, religion and things like that, being getting to more interested in spirituality, And I look back at myself, and that's when I realized, you know what, maybe that little experience I had, you know, being in touch with Muslim culture and Christian, and being in the Lebanon, and I went to a mountain where Jesus walked.
You know,
it's like,
yeah.
It's amazing if you, but at that child, I was just a child, just following my parents, but not knowing anything. But after I grew up and I just kind of reflected on all these things, I remember everything, you know, and that just realized, oh, there's like a golden time. And that really, really helped me nurture who I am today. So that's like, it became like one of my hometown.
I got a double question here for you. I'm going to ask you one question, let you answer here, Yuichi, and then I'll ask you the other one. And it's not a pointed question at all. Trust me, it's very innocent and where it comes from. The first question would be, and I only know this from my own experience. As you sit down with your Muslim friends, are they open? Do they explain different questions that you may have about the religion? And I only ask this because my own stepfather, Unfortunately, he lived in New York. He came from New York, grew up in Harlem and in the Bronx, and unfortunately got on the wrong side of the law, went to jail, and converted over to the Muslim religion while he was in jail. But he was very open about answering questions that I had about the religion.
Did you
find that with your friends?
I was very young at that time, but of course after I grew up I had Muslim friends as well. They're open because as you know, if you talk about a little bit about religion, Muslim belief begins with Judaism and Christianity. So they believe in Jesus, and you know, they believe in Jewish and in Old Testament and New Testament. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, you know, Muhammad is the final one.
Right.
you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's kind of strange, but because they believe in it, they just wouldn't release that, you know, the belief that Muhammad is the final savior.
Right.
So that's the point. It's a little bit different. But so they are very open. In a way, they're open, and they're very spiritual, because Quran was supposed to be written like a automatic writing, you know, from the voices of a God or something like that, but Muhammad. So it's very, very spiritual. It's like almost like a spiritual message from the heaven, right? Mm-hmm. So they're very spiritual, and they're very open. It's just that they also believe in Jesus and, you know, Old Testament, things like that, Moses. But, you know, their main God is, of course, Muhammad and things like that. So, Allah. So, that's a little bit of difference there.
Okay.
But the only issue, I think, with the Muslim today is, as you can see, what's happening in Iran.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That shows, you know, religion's teachings has to be modified or changed depending on the age that you're living in.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you just kind of carry on what used to be right, you know, 500 years ago today, because we are living in a different environment, different situation. So not everything is going to fit exactly the same as it used to be 500 years ago.
Right.
So it's very difficult. So we do understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, as a human justice, you know, as a humanity growing and evolving, I think religion has to evolve together. So I think that's the conflict they're facing today. So
You're absolutely right. The second question I would have for you, even though it was through the eyes of a child, could you, and having, as you said, walked in places where Jesus had walked, can you see why there was this conflict between Christians and Muslims? Could you see why these people were fighting?
It's conflict between religion, right? So. Mm-hmm. That's a hard part with religion.
Yeah.
You know, tolerance.
Yes.
Try to understand and accept each other. And if they can't, then that's where the conflict starts. And because we have such a strong belief, each one of us have strong beliefs, especially if it's related to a religious belief, sometimes people just can't go over that understanding of trying to understand others, and they think we are the only one that is right. And you know, like a lot of Christian too, like a very conservative Christian people sometimes think Buddhism is a evil religion. You know, Buddha is like a devil or something like that. But like to me, it's like, oh my God, that's just, it's just so small, narrow-minded. You yeah. gotta be a little bit more open-minded about accept, try to act. You don't have to, I'm not, nobody's saying you have to believe in everything, just that at least accept other beliefs and judge depending on the fruits. If right. it's a sweet fruit that people, you know, become, then it must be something good there. Mm-hmm. If it's a rotten fruit, then that's we call them cult sometimes, right? It's very, very dangerous things that's happening. But you just have to see what the fruit is. If that is the person's personality, how they act, how they associate with the society. And with that all together, you have to judge whether this is a good thing for the society or not good thing. And if you know it's a good, not good thing for society, then we just have to, you know, be justice about it. But sometimes good things are considered as a bad thing because of such a narrow-minded thing. So it just, I think that's the biggest issue with the religion itself.
You know? Yes. Yeah.
So same thing with Christian and Muslim and what the conflicts that's happening today in the world. Yes. So.
Right. I think sometimes the conflicts are a little too forced because there's almost a, well, our sect is the good sect and that one over there, not so much, because you almost have to maintain the members of that sect.
That's right.
You know, you don't want someone to find out that maybe that sect over there has a little bit more going on than this one over here. Mm-hmm. You don't want people converting, you know, so you want to keep them in your camp. That's almost the feeling you get when you see how hard they go at each other. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ridiculous, you know, because it you know, I think there's room for people to believe in the God they believe in, but yet still study other religions and see what it is.
You don't have you don't have to accept it. Just study.
So yeah,
like all the major religions in this world that is being still existing today after 500 years and thousands of years. There must be something good about it. If it's not, it's gonna vanish away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gonna vanish away. There's a lot of things, you know, many, many religions, I'm sure, has evolved and vanished away. Mm-hmm. But those major religions that's out there today, it's God's will. You know, it's the universe's will.
Right.
It was a different time in different places. The God sent, you know, Savior, Jesus, Muhammad, and Moses, Buddha. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, it's a different age, a different time, a different location. Of course, teaching is going to be different because they have to accommodate the people living there. Right? So it's going to be different to begin with. But now the world is such a small place. Earth is like becoming so small because of the internet and traveling.
Yep.
You know, those things will start to really conflict each other. It used to be separated, so it was okay, but now it's not. So Earth is have to move into a next stage of really, really accepting and understanding each other. Because we're just so small now.
Yeah, you're so right about that. And with technology and with us getting closer and closer as a planet. I mean, especially with the EU using one currency, you know, and it seems like with the United Nations getting tighter and tighter, we really are becoming more so one world than we are separate in separate nations and not talking to each other. I think there's more of an open communication between countries now than there ever has been. You know, I have to ask before we move into the subject of today's show.
Main topic.
the main topic, right. A rock band. Tell us about your rock band. What band was it and what were you doing?
The name is called Remington, and I was playing guitar in high school.
Okay.
And we just, you know, just local guys. You know, no, I'm just the only Japanese and local guys, local friends. We just started playing a band. And I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why, we had a manager. Manager was like, you guys are going to be great. So we got the manager. And since then, he started booking shows everywhere.
Wow.
So instead of us studying in high school, we used to finish the school, go to the studio, rehearse, and play at nightclubs in high school.
Nice.
It was fun, but I kind of lost a little bit of a track there. But it was a little bit of, lost track, but it's always fun to have a lost track in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so much fun, those few years of, just being in a rock band. And we made one album out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that's like the last grade. So 12th grade, right before we graduated from high school, we used to, after school, either practice or play in the gig, mm-hmm. or in the studio recording. So that's what we used to do. So we came up with the album, and it was really pretty good. It used to be the record, not the CD.
Yep.
So, and we used to play everywhere. Everywhere in around New York. So
that beats working at McDonald's.
But then everybody was like, "No, we got to move to Los Angeles and things like that." And that's when I realized, because I was still a student, I was there with a student visa. I was like, if I really want to make the choice of either becoming this musical career in America.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make that choice. So I decided at that point, maybe it's time for me to stop this and go back to Japan. So if I didn't, I don't know what happened. But at that time, a lot of Bon Jovi and Motley Crue and all these very good sounding, hard rock music was in the 1980s, right? So it was really evolving. So we were on that trend. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
could have been.
Do you ever regret
better,
it?
Maybe.
Do you ever regret not sticking with it?
No.
Okay.
No, because now I'm here and I enjoy my life. So
good. All right. Well, I tell you what, Yuichi. Let's take our break here. When we come back, we're gonna wipe the slate clean. We're gonna come back. We're going to talk about the Divine Protector Master Salt Begins. We're going to talk about curses, and we're going to talk about how a curse begins and how it manifests and how it is wiped clean. And we want to talk about the movie because, I really enjoyed this movie and where it originated from and how it ended because, and again, we're not going to give you the ending of the movie. Don't get yourself wound up there, folks. But the concept of the movie is what got me. And the reason it touched me, well, I'll tell you what, we'll tell you on the other side of the break why it touched me so much. Our guest is Yuichi Utebi. He's a producer of The Divine Protector, Master Salt Begins. And we come back, we'll talk about curses and repelling the curses and basically about the movie and these curses plaguing friends, acquaintances, and we'll talk a little bit about the group that finds Master Salt as well, which is very interesting in the movie. Yuichi Utebi, the guest, when we come back, we'll talk more about Master Salt and curses when we come back here on The Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to The Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Our guest is Yuichi Utebi. The film, which is out there now, is The Divine Protector, Master Salt Begins. We'll have a link in the description of this program. You can go to mastersaltmovie.com while we're talking here and check it out for yourself. Yuichi, when we talk about curses I guess at least here in the United States, we like to think of black magic. And we think of black magic, we think of the occult, and we think about the reverse side of the Christian side of the occult. You like to think of devil worship, maybe Satan. Mm-hmm. You get images of a red devil, red horned. and something that opposes Jesus. That's got to be what it is. Yeah. Stereotypical.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Horror.
Yes.
Anti-Christian horror.
Exactly.
Horror, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what got me I guess what got me right in the feels about this was about the Divine Protector Master Salt Begins is that immediately this movie sets up as, first of all, you get the little bit of shock of paranormal, you get the little bit of shock of ghosts, you get the little bit mm-hmm. of shock of a curse and a curse mm-hmm. being mentioned.
Yeah.
But then it comes to you from a Buddhist perspective and you go, wait a minute, this is new.
That's right.
This is new, especially to American mm-hmm. eyes and ears, mm-hmm, which is great. Mm-hmm. So refreshing. And you put me in a brand new perspective, which is wonderful. So tell me, where does the material for the Divine Protector Master mm-hmm. Salt Begins come from? Where does this story originate from?
Yes. So as you read it in my bio, now I'm also a part of a Happy Science. Happy Science is Japan's largest and active spiritual movement since 1986. It's been around for more than 35 years. And the founder's name is Ryuho Okawa. Mm-hmm. Ryuho Okawa. So the original story is from him. So he wrote the original story.
Okay.
So Happy Science is kind of interesting. It's not Buddhism. No. But it has kind of like a big Buddhism way of thinking mm-hmm. and the concept, because maybe he was born in Japan. I don't know. But it does have that Buddhism way of like looking within.
Okay.
You know, and also going out, you know, giving love as a Christian, but also really looking within as a Buddhism. So this movie comes from not the devil side curse, but mm-hmm. the God's view curse. I think that was a very good explanation when you said, you know, you had something very, very different perspective. So that's exactly it. You know, even though we're talking about the curse, people might think, is this a horror movie? But it's not. It's more like a, that's why it's the title is called Divine Protector. Mm-hmm. You know, this person, her name is Shioko. She's a master salt. She's there to repel curses and you know, repel evil spirits and devils, to help people, you know, mm-hmm. to save people from all the sufferings they have through this movie. And ultimately, because she has this mission, giving from God, to save the people. You know, because that's God wants to do is to save people, of course.
Right.
So, and bring happiness to people. So, Master Salt has been appointed as his missionary, I guess, to save people.
Yep.
So that's the story. His baseline is on this. So it has a lot of interesting, you know, devils will come up and you'll see these evil spirits and things like that. But at the end of the day, the baseline is coming from God's view. So it's like a, you know, it's a superhero movie. In other words, everybody is
a superhero. That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, everything feels good and everything at the end feels good. So like good always win over evil, mm-hmm. right? So that's like a main concept. Right against justice, against God's justice wins over injustice, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's like a Japanese Avengers, I guess you would put it that way.
That's
like a Japanese Doctor Strange. I don't know.
That's a good way of putting it. I was going to say it's a combination paranormal Doctor Strange meets kind of like, it's got levels, kind of like a video game. You know,
yes,
it does have that video game feel to it. Like you're leveling up. Because you do go through not only like different poisons of the mind. There's three poisons mm-hmm. of the mind, which we'll talk mm-hmm. about in a bit.
Yep.
But you've also got different types of curses or different types of way of generating curses. Okay.
That's right.
That have to do with the things we do on the earthly mm-hmm. plane to mm-hmm. generate these curses, things that you do as a person that generate a curse.
That's right.
One of the things, Yoichi, that I want to talk about, which actually I can't say I'm totally unfamiliar with,
mm-hmm.
but the way it's presented in the movie,
mm-hmm.
was a little stunning to me, and it begins in the beginning of the movie, so I feel like we can talk about it without spoiling too much.
Yeah, you can talk about the basic storyline, of course.
A living ghost. Mm-hmm. Okay, the concept of a living ghost, which is this. To explain for our listeners, the idea that, okay, and I'll use you and I as an example, mm-hmm. okay? So let's say I, Tim Dennis, am sitting here in the U.S., we're both in the U.S., but I'm in Minnesota, you're in Los Angeles, you're having a great career, and we're friends, okay? And boy, Yuichi is really moving up in the world. And mm-hmm. I am just jealous of your success.
I really
don't like the way you're moving up. And you know, you and I came up together, but you're really moving up the ladder, Yuichi. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I can't seem to get my footing.
Yep.
Now, you know, I'm like, you know, I just wish Yuichi would just die, because I can't imagine that he would do that, and he wouldn't give me a helping hand. He wouldn't help me up, right? Mm-hmm. So I manifest this hate for him, this hatred that's unreasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, Yuichi drives the best cars. Yuichi has the finest women looking at him. You know, Yuichi has the best smile. He has the best this, the best that. You know, he's so friendly. People just love Yuichi. They just love hanging out with him. How come they don't love me that way? Mm-hmm. Well, it has to be something that it's because they love him that they don't love me.
Right.
Well, it's that poison that I've generated myself. Mm-hmm. Now, the concept of a living ghost, as portrayed in this movie, is that I've generated my own curse or my own spirit. Mm-hmm. That exists outside of myself.
That's right. That's right.
That takes over. So I can be living my everyday life and still mm-hmm. have a hatred of that person, but I've created my own entity that mm-hmm. carries out a curse.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
That's scary.
That's a living ghost. Yeah. It is scary. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the concept comes from, thoughts manifest. That's like everybody knows about it. Thoughts manifest, mm-hmm. and that's like a part of creation of human. It's the same tendency, same characteristics as God has. So if you are so positive, always be positive person. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you're gonna open up your life as a be positive and prosperous life. If you're so loving, you're always caring, loving for other people. Eventually, you're going to be living a lovely life. Even if you do not live a lovely life this world, after you die, go back to heaven, you're going to be pat on the back from Jesus. So, you know, Buddha, you did mm-hmm. a good job. So don't worry about it. You might have been a little bit difficult on this earth, but now you are back as an angel. You know what I mean? So you always be happy at the end. So, but, you know, God also gave us this, because we have a totally same part of God characteristics. He also gave us this thing called free will.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So if he didn't give us the will, the way of thinking in a negative way, negative things will not happen. But God is so open. He said, well, you can think positive, but of course, if you want to think negative, you can do it too, right?
Right.
So a lot of people do think negatively, like you just explained how you hated me, right?
No, I don't for real. I think you're a wonderful human being.
Of course, yeah. So with that, you know, again, thought manifests in both ways. It can go directions in different ways. So what happens if your thoughts manifest in a different direction? That means you are going to, if you really want to hurt somebody, that is going to become a materialized. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt somebody else. Okay. And the energy, the stronger the energy of envy and jealousy and hate you have towards the person, the energy is going to be accumulated. And of course, it's going to go out there and hit the person, because it's going to manifest. It's going to be materialized. So that's why, you know, sometimes people get into accident, they get mm-hmm. Injured, they get headache, they get dizziness, they get the leg pain, all this shoulder pain, the back pain, suddenly without doing anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So not always 100% it's a curse, but you can start to think, you know, why am I getting this this really bad pain in my back, even though I didn't do any gym training. Just suddenly this happened. Something must be here, you know. Is it me, something wrong with me, or is it something that's coming from outside? So these things are real, I think. Mm-hmm. Curses are not just devil worshipping things where like a black magic, but it's everywhere. It's flying around us everywhere, every time, everywhere, every day. It's ordinary thing. So through this movie, we wanted to share with everybody, you know, whatever the thoughts you have, if it's a negative and if it's so strong, it could be hurting. It is hurting. If you're specifically about somebody, it actually is hurting other people, other person. So you have to be really mindful and be careful about what you think. So that's the kind of message we wanted to.
There's things in the movie I'm afraid people might take a little too literally instead of metaphorically. And I'll give you an example. There is a domestic abuse situation in the movie.
Yep.
And I think I think in that situation, there's more of a metaphorical situation having to do with people's demons and holding on to anger and hanging on to that anger for too long. And it does manifest in the form of demons or spirits. And I won't ruin the scenario because it's a good scenario for people to watch and to absorb in, because I like the twist in the story, at the end of this segment. And I encourage people again to watch this movie and really see the end of the segment between this abusive husband and this wife who is being abused, and the children are being abused in this again. Again, the link is mastersaltmovie.com, and we encourage you to check out the movie, The Divine Protector, Master Salt Begins. But in the scenario, I think the metaphor is there that anger can manifest on both sides.
That's right.
And with that, when we hold on to anger on both sides, healing can't begin.
Right.
It can't begin for either party.
That's right. That's right.
And the idea of healing is a mutual healing. There's never healing on one side because the other person will never heal.
Yeah.
Even if it's the offender that begins to heal, the offended can't heal if they don't give up their baggage.
Right.
Which is a wonderful lesson. I think people think that, you know what, if that person that needs help just goes and gets help, I'll be okay and I'll get through this.
You
don't, because there's trauma. True trauma. And that trauma in this scenario manifests as a demon. And I really think that's a beautiful segment, and I just wanted to tip my cap to
yeah. So maybe I don't want to be too spoiler about it,
right.
You know, this man who's not doing well in his office, so he goes back home and he you know hits his wife. So you know, there's a controversial discussion. When I was doing a voiceover session, they were like, I don't really agree. What they don't agree about is like, you know, because the man is hitting a woman. So if you look at it, is who's wrong, who's bad? It's the man, right? The man is wrong because he's hitting the woman. Yeah,
100%.
It's bad, 100%.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there in this movie. That's the point, right?
Right.
Because the woman, the wife is also having the anger in herself as well. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the lesson here is like, for women, if maybe you should be a little more considerable for your husband to understand that he was having such a difficult time at work, if you really understood his feeling, you might be able to take care of him and not to get into that worse situation. So from women's point of view, no way. He's the one hitting me. Why should I be the one, you know, to be brain? But so it's a maybe no controversial thing here.
And I know people might misconstrue those words you just said there, Yuichi. Mm-hmm. They might take those words that you just said and say, no, wait a minute, I'm just supposed to sit there and take it? No, that's not what you're saying.
Right.
What you're saying, again, you have to watch the movie in order to see what the end result is of what happens here.
Yeah.
It isn't that she's just being compliant and getting knocked around like a punching bag.
That's right.
That's not what's happening in this scenario. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that you're not being misconstrued here in what you're saying. I'm looking out for you here, my friend. Mm-hmm. Because it is a totally different scenario and a different take on what's going on here. Mm-hmm. We should explain that in this movie, there's and I love how it's brilliantly set up. There's three girls, and at the beginning of the movie, this
high school,
high school girls. Yep. One of the high school girls is an initial victim of a curse.
That's right.
And that's how this starts. And then they form, or they're part of an occult group at school. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who call upon Master Salt. They find Master Salt because they're trying to help their friend get rid of this curse.
Yeah.
And Master Salt's kind of like, oh, this is an easy curse. I don't know why you're calling on me. You know, you could get rid of it easily enough by yourself. But they're really lost. They're young and they're lost. And they really are like, you know what? We don't know what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We really do need your help. And and that's where they form this partnership friendship.
Yeah, that's
where,
right.
You know, they're like, you know what? We can help you as much as you can help the world. And that's really ends up being kind of a beautiful relationship in itself.
Yeah, yeah. So those three girls are doing a really good job. You know, good. The plot in this movie is a very important plot. So, that's. I think there's a very. Those three girls are kind of key, characters, and yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
So I think it's very good how it starts off. It's very easy to understand, and it does get a little bit heavier and heavier as it goes deeper into the movie. Right. There's five short, just so you guys know, there's five short stories within this movie.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not like one story just goes on, but there's like five short stories, and each segment has their own problem in each different poison of the mind, different hell, different evil type of things that they attract. And you get to learn, you know, oh my God, if you think this way, this is the kind of hell that I'm going to be going. If it does exist in that, if it does exist, this is the place as I'm going to go, you know? And so there's a lot of learning processes through this movie. So educational in a way.
And each short story also reflects on a human behavior that can bring a curse upon yourself.
That's right.
So that's what I think is the most important moral or the most important lesson there. What's interesting, the one that really draws me in is, and again, we'll leave it a little vague, so there's a little meat on the bone for our audience.
Yeah,
is the one at the end, which I think is known as the Tengu, but is also the one that we could refer to easily as a narcissist.
Yeah, yeah, long nose goblin, we call them. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
It's like a Loki from Thor.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's like Loki from Thor.
Very conceited, very arrogant. He thinks he's the god of the earth, and he thinks he can control everything. You know, those guys.
Yep,
they exist.
he's praying for a lot of people's downfall so that he can move ahead. Yep.
That's right.
And he's using women left and right. They're kind of an adornment to him. They're kind of just something to decorate his arm.
Yep.
They're there to serve him. Mm-hmm. And you know, he just uses people to get to his next achievement. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Is what it is. He takes credit for a lot of things he hasn't done. And it's a very compelling story, and again, one of the ones that we won't say too much about because it's one of the best stories in the movie.
Yeah. It's one of the main important concepts.
Yes, it is. And it's right there at the end and one of the more fascinating ones. But the one point I wanted to make about that is I think a lot of people may look at this character and say, well, that's a little over the top. There can't be somebody like that, but there are a lot of people like that in this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the people that go, there can't be somebody like that are probably closer to that character than they like to think. Don't you think so, Yoichi?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, that's like the biggest big Tengu, like a Tengu with all the characters that, incorporate. But as human beings, we each of everybody has that tendency somehow. We call it like an instant Tengu, instant. Without knowing it, sometimes we can become very conceited and very proud of yourself just by, achieving a small success, right? Or praised by somebody. You feel good about it.
Yep.
And you don't notice that you are becoming, I'm going to use the word Tengu, okay? Like reconsidered. You don't realize you are becoming a Tengu, but people around you, when they see you, they know it. Oh my God, this guy's a little bit too, I don't know. He thinks he's that good. When people feel that, that means you are already a Tengu at that point. Even though you're a small Tengu, but you're still a Tengu.
Right.
So we wanted to show over-exaggerated characteristics of Tengu, but we also wanted to make sure the people who watches it understand, it's not about me, there's no, I'm not like that person at all, but if you really think about it, maybe small portion of it, what he has, you might have it too. So that's the kind of a lesson that we should all, try to learn from his perspective as well.
Here's the question I have for you, Yoichi, and it's... it's kind of a nurture nature question. I believe that as somebody, and some people say, as you get money and fame, your true nature is truly revealed. I don't know that that's the case, because even if you come from the most humble of backgrounds, I think if you really do get a taste of, and you're not ready for it, of mega stardom, mega money, you look at some people who come from nothing and they hit the lottery, and they're given $100 million, $200 million. When you give somebody that kind of money, they're going to spend it, they're going to run through it. Yeah. They're going to do things. They're rich. Come on. They're going to spend money on their family, their friends. Mm-hmm. They're going to run through it because they think it's never going to disappear. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you have somebody who has been working hard at their craft, let's say they're in a rock band. Not that I'm picking on you here, but they're in a rock band they've been playing clubs for years and years and years and they're toiling away at their craft, and all of a sudden, boom, mega stardom overnight, even though it's 10 years and it's been overnight, And then they get that contract, they're on the road, they're opening up for big bands, and they hit their big break.
Yep.
Well, all of a sudden, here comes the fame, the money, the groupies, and you lose yourself in it because, hey, why not? I deserve the success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So you lose yourself a little in it. And then before you know it, the wheels come off the cart because you just let it ride. Why not? Yeah. I deserve it. I worked hard for it, right? I think it's pretty hard, even for somebody who's grounded, who's had a really good background, to just enjoy and let go, because it's there. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think it's a bit normal.
Yeah.
Normal people would be like that. But if you are more a considerable person, You even though how much fame you have, you don't become like that. Maybe you have a big house, you have a nice family, nice car, everything that you achieve, you work for, but there's always something in their heart that they want to do something for others. Either the love for others.
Yeah.
This is something, all the fame I received is because of all the support I used to get from all these people, all the fans. Thank you, fans. So it's the energy of the gratitude and energy of love. Like, do you want to bring it back to other people? All the things that I achieved is because of you guys. Thank you. And a lot of people, they'll do a lot of parentheses. Is it parentheses? Like, they do you know, charity works. And so a lot of people who are making a lot of money, and famous people, I don't know how many percent of them do, but certain people, amount of percentage of people do bring back to the society.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. that's what you should do. I think if you're becoming famous and you become rich, that's great. That's what you deserve it. Mm-hmm. Why not? Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful life. But at the same time, you know, don't just hold on to just for yourself,
but
you know, just think about for others and think gratitude and thank you for others and start giving it away. That's what a lot of people did. That's what Elvis did, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just watched the movie Elvis it was a great movie. And even though he was, you know, used up by his manager or something, I don't know how much of the truth, but you know, he was giving out a lot. You know, yeah. Entire his life, even though he was living in a beautiful house, a nice car, but he was always a loving person, trying to give love to other people, try to help the people who are suffering. You know, that's the kind of the things that we need. So more money you have, more power you have to help people, right?
Right.
If you only earn $10,000 per year, there's so much you can do to give it out. But if you earn 100,000 times more than that, that means you got the wealth, you can bring it back to the people. And you still have some for yourself to,
true.
You know, to
very
enjoy.
True.
So
very true.
I think that's the kind of, you know, ideal wealth, I think.
I think
wealth, having wealth.
Maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't. Mm-hmm. I think it's tougher in today's society than it was even back in Elvis's day to not have that one major slip or downfall before you have a comeback. Because I think today's society loves not only a good come up, but they love to tear you down to see you come down. And then they love a good comeback too. So,
yeah, everybody's into a curse.
Yes, they love
the
curse.
It's the age of curse. They love to curse others.
Yeah.
They just love it. You know, people just love to curse each other because they kind of lost that important heart, you know, of caring each other. And
yeah.
Thinking about others before yourself. Of course, you have to be happy yourself first, but you know, those are the kind of very important essence of human beings, I guess. I think we're losing it nowadays, if you look around, compared to, you know, old days, seems like.
Why is that? Why is that today's society needs to see somebody who's making it in the world? Why do they need to tear them down so quick? Why do we need to see successful people fail?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I don't have a straight answer for that. But yeah, I wish. Yeah, that's a very good question. What do you think? I don't know.
You know, it used to be that the, you know, even in olden times, it was the subjects of a kingdom that just wanted to see the king fail. Everybody else wanted to support each other. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they wanted to see the king fail is because the king was taking all your taxes. You know, that was, you know, he was being greedy and taking your money. Mm-hmm.
But there's always a good kings too, you know, in history who would be sharing. Those are the kingdom, the really prospered.
Yes. You know? Yeah. But now it seems like you get, I mean, it could be a singer that's just very popular that happens to be hitting on all cylinders that you know is making money, or it could be a movie star who's just working like there's no tomorrow and putting out a lot of movies, who happens to be making a lot of contracts, and they're like, "Ooh, I just want to see that guy," you know, just because my wife thinks he's hot or whatever, I want to see him, you know, fail. And it just seems like there's this negative mindset.
I think it's a lot of it with the mass media.
Yeah.
How the mass media's mind works. Mm-hmm. They want to pull down all the people who are success. It's the mind of mass media. It seems like, especially in Japan too, US probably too, but that kind of tendency where they just want to find somebody, and because that's how they can make money too in mass media, right?
Well, yeah, but they're, and you know what? I said this on a show on Tuesday night, and I stick by it that the mass media is fueled by people, and the reason being is that And it started really in the 80s when we went to tabloid television. And really, true journalism went out the window in the 80s.
Yeah.
Checking three sources to come out with true journalism went out in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, when Hard Copy and A Current Affair and these tabloid TV shows came out, and people wanted hard, fast news, and they wanted salacious news, and they wanted, you know, because they were eating it up. They were eating it up like candy. And now people just want their news fast and quick, like a like a microwave burrito. They don't want accurate news, and they don't want, you know, true news, and they they want things that they can gossip about with their friends. They don't want things that are true, you know, and that's discouraging. To me, it's
that's why the social media is so popular.
Yeah, it is.
Twitter. Yeah. People are just saying whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
We're just saying whatever they want to say, and we just kind of follow everybody and try to see what they're saying, and you kind of accumulate all the information through social media nowadays.
I'll tell you about a good story I saw that absolutely warmed my heart, and I've only seen it in a few places, and one of them was actually self-promoting in WWE, but the other one was I haven't seen it come from the man himself, and that's John Cena. John Cena set a Guinness World Book record for most Make-A-Wish visits. He's got 600 and some Make-A-Wish visits. The only one that comes close is 250 below him. And he's the most requested Make-A-Wish celebrity for kids. And even though he's got an extremely busy schedule, he doesn't care. He just keeps going to hospitals and keeps granting wishes for not only sick kids, but just anyone who's sick who wants to see him. And he takes time out of his schedule. He doesn't publicize it. He doesn't say, look at me. He doesn't say, look at what a great guy I am. He just shows up.
He just does it.
Yeah, he brings some merchandise, he signs stuff, and he sits with the person, and he asks them how they are, if they're okay, you know, hands out hugs, you know, encourages them, tells them, you know, I'm going to check in on you, you're going to get better, and follows that person. And yet, you have people in arenas chanting, John Cena sucks. I don't get it. I don't get it, Yuichi. But that's, that's the kind of stories I love. I love those stories.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that kind of make me smile. But I don't know. We don't get enough of those. But it is kind of a, you know, when we talk about curses, that really is, you're right. And the movie is right. And that's why I'm bringing this full circle. The movie is really right in that it is I don't want to say a world mentality, is a group mentality, a large group mentality.
Yep.
And it can be poisonous. And right now, somebody's injected poison in the well.
Especially with the internet. I mean, people sometimes commit suicide because of the poison they get.
Yeah.
You know, they tweet something out and they get bashed, so many tweets, hundreds and thousands of negative tweets. And there was a very famous person who just committed suicide in Japan, the famous person, because she was bashed so badly on social media.
Are we talking about the same? There's a Japanese wrestler a couple of years ago who...
The woman.
Yeah.
You know about her, right?
Yep, I do.
So there's a few others like that.
Yeah,
and it's just be sad to see something like that happening, right?
She was so young.
It's not just she just happened to be famous, so everybody knows about it. But probably there's a lot more young kids and high school and middle school students getting just so bashed by their friends, bullied, like online bullied, cyber bully, we call them, I guess.
And
that can really hurt somebody's mentality.
And it makes no sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
No sense. You know, there's a saying out there that's been out there since the beginning of time, and it was ingrained in probably your head and my head when we were kids. That is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Just don't say it at all.
Yeah, it's
true. And
it's better not to say it.
I don't think it got taught to the younger generation. You know, I don't know. I don't know. In the movie, there's a saying, and I want to bring it up with you. It's talking about polishing the mind. At one point, the salt master is talking about, in order to get after the Tengu, or in order to repel the Tengu or the narcissist, it's talking about polishing the mind. Explain to our audience what it is, and how does a pure, clean mind repel curses? We want to talk about getting rid of some of this negative energy, because there's a lot of it out there. So how do we polish our mind to get rid of these curses?
Well, it's flying everywhere, right? So I guess this is a really basic Buddhist teaching. Is a self-reflection. You know, reflect upon yourself. Always look within yourself and you know, find the light, you know, within yourself. Find the Buddha nature within yourself. In order to find the Buddha nature in yourself, you have to look at your thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. All the negative thoughts that you are sending out to the world. Mm-hmm. You know, so instead of trying to block it or trying to repel it, first you have to look at yourself. So how am I doing? Am I being a good person on this earth? You know, and people, every day we go through, you know, different things. We meet people and we talk with people. Of course, we're going to get influenced. Sometimes we get into a fight. You know, it was a bad day today at work. So these things happen all the time, every day. So once in a while, you kind of have to just, this is like a really Buddhism kind of thing, but like we call it meditation. I don't know how many people do meditate nowadays, but it's kind of popular, right?
Yes, it is.
But you don't just sit down and just be go blank, but you think about, how was my day today? How much, did I say these words, bad things? Or, you know, just start thinking about these things and try to release all the negative energy out of yourself, release all the attachment and all the tensions you have. And eventually you start to feel like warm and nice and comfortable, like serenity kind of mind state of mind. And you start to feel this Buddha nature within yourself. So the light within yourself, God's light within yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you start to shine those light, what happens is like, because you are becoming such a positive energy, if the negative thinking, negative energy starts to hit you, especially the curse is going right at you because somebody's thinking about you negatively. But if you are protected by this warm energy and light, you are almost like living in a different dimension, even though you're living in the same dimension. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it can't hit you. There's no way. They can't find you. It's like for them, it's almost like you're invisible. So the energy that come out from them have nowhere to go, instead of hitting you. So it's going to have to go back to where it came from. So it kind of hit them back and it repels back to them.
Yeah.
So naturally, instead of you trying to fight against, you know, like the power of energy, right. Of course you can do that too. Of course, you know, when something comes, you can always fight back. That's another way of, you know, repelling curse. But the ultimate way is to shine yourself, you know, polish your mind, reflect upon yourself. As long as you are shining, they cannot hit you, and they're gonna have to go right back to them. So
I like that.
That's what the movie, even though there was a very small portion, you know, the Master Soul says to this woman, "Okay, now reflect upon yourself. Was there something that you attracted the curse? Maybe there was something wrong with you inside. So instead of you putting blame on the outside world, first just look into yourself, and you're gonna find something." The reason why you attracted it. So again, it's like a self-help kind of understanding and self-responsibility type of understanding we wanted to incorporate in this movie. Don't blame on others always, even though it looks like 100% the person's wrong, right?
Right.
But sometimes even with that case, think about yourself first instead of just think about other people, because there might be a reason why that person is talking to you in that scenario. There might be something within yourself. So if the person is get bullied at school, of course, the person who bullies that person is the bad guy. Of course, right?
Yes.
But this person who bullies this, he chooses the people who wants to bully. Not everybody is get bullied, right? So you have to, if you bully, you have to think, why am I bullied? Is something wrong, something inside of me that attracting him to be attractive for me, to him to bully me? You know, so I know it's kind of difficult to do this, but sometimes you have to, if you can be more smarter and more wise about going about how to go about your life, it's always good to think about yourself first, reflect upon yourself first before you go to others. So
yeah,
that's the kind of teaching, same kind of way of thinking how to repel curses.
I like it. It's and again, it's what attracted me to the movie was the fact that a lot of times we don't want to point the finger at ourselves. We don't want to reflect, and we don't want to say, okay, there's two sides to everything, and there's two sides to to every so-called quote unquote curse. There's there's the person throwing it at you, but there's also, why is it attracted to me, and why what is it that it came to me, and why is it sticking to me? And
that's
maybe it's something
that's
about me, and maybe it's something I did to attract it to me.
That's
Which that's the other part that is never brought up.
Maybe I was a little too flashy, you know, about it. People would think, wow, you know, why you, you know?
Yeah.
So
Then
again, sometimes you're so, you could be so nice and kind, but they still hate you. You know what I mean? Those things does happen. But so, you know, in that situation, then you have to make sure that you don't create the empty space in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, don't be too empty and don't be too open. Sometimes you kind of need to kind of close yourself in a little bit to protect yourself from getting into you. So you have to be, again, a little bit wiser and not just being open to everybody and believe everything's going to be great and happy. Sometimes people do think negatively about you. So we have to be careful about that. Be smart about it as well.
That's great advice, Yuichi. It really is. Yeah. There are a lot of people who walk around thinking everything is sweetness and light too. And you... You know, sometimes you're opening yourself up for a big whammy right there.
Yep. You have to be careful. Just be careful. Don't be too start to doubt everybody. You know, don't think, oh, this might be that, but don't start to be too negative about life. But you also have to be protective of yourself too.
Exactly.
The world is like that. There are some evil people out there.
Yeah. Well, much
it's
like
too
there's,
bad, but it's true.
There's two sides of every coin. There's there's, you know, it really, I mean, there there are some very, there's some great people out there, and you're right, there are some evil people out there, and you just, you know, you have a gut sense.
Yep.
You know,
that's
you have a sense, but sometimes that sense may betray you from now and then, and you just have to be careful. That's all.
Sometimes you need to protect yourself.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. The movie's out there right now, mastersaltmovie.com. We have a link in the, oh, I'm sorry. It's being released in limited theaters in North America from October 21st.
Yep.
I should read the stuff in front of me. I should, Yuichi. followed by release on video on demand and DVD. You can get the information at mastersaltmovie.com. I got to see it before you guys. Ha, ha, ha. Limited release, theatrical release beginning October 21st in New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, Atlanta, Tampa, Honolulu, San Diego, San Antonio, Denver, and Orange County, California, as well as Toronto and Vancouver, Canada. Yep. I encourage you people to go look at the trailer at mastersaltmovie.com. That's the more accurate information.
Yeah.
Rather than just assuming that it was.
Yeah. Basically, we'll probably be playing in AMC theaters. So, any hopefully people listening to this podcast lives close to one of the theaters, so they can drive down and watch this movie. So, by the way, just so you know, we are going to release this in voiceover in theater.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a challenge for us because some people, they'll probably say, like, why are you releasing voiceover when it's a Japanese movie? I want to watch in subtitle. You know, most people would say that. But again, the half of the audience would say, well, I don't want to read subtitle. I just want to watch it in English, right? So we don't know which way to take it, but we thought we'll try with some voiceover this time and see how it is.
Voiceover isn't actually bad. You know, I enjoyed watching it in the original Japanese and reading the subtitles. I had no problem with it. Although I understand where some people just want to hear an English version. But I'll throw one of the three poisons of the mind out there. Ignorance. Just watch it in Japanese and read the subtitles. That's what I would say. No, I'm kidding. Actually, we never did talk about the three poisons of the mind. There's greed, there's anger, and there's ignorance. And those are the three poisons of the mind that eventually bring on a curse. So there you go.
Yep. That's one of them. There's a lot of poisons of the mind in this world, but we only have 2 hours in this world.
That's right.
But the main poison of the mind is, this is Buddhist basic, like very, very basic Buddhism teaching is that it's called three poisons of the mind, which is greed. Greed is something that is unstoppable a desire. I want this. Even I hurt the person, I still want to take it. It's greed, and you have to really, really watch out on the greed mind that you have. Another one is the anger. Anger is sometimes especially the uncontrollable anger. You see this in movie, right? Where you get to one point, it's like boiling hot water. Suddenly it clicks and you just lose your consciousness and you become so angry. That kind of anger is very, very dangerous for your mind and also for others. It could become cursed easily. And ignorance. Ignorance is, in this movie, there is a professor who's teaching about the spirits and in this the supernatural phenomena, but he doesn't believe in any of that. It's up to the specific person if they believe in the ghosts and spirits. Some people might say, no, there's no spirit. That's up to you guys, whoever want to watch it. But from this movie's perspective, it's very important that you believe in something that is just beyond what you can just see with your eyes. There's more to that. So be open to it. Don't be too ignorant about it. Don't be too closed about it. Be open about it. And,
I was going to say, if you're an atheist, you're not going to like this movie.
No, you're going to hate it. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
You can hate it, but just come and watch it. You're going to enjoy it.
If you're an atheist, it's good entertainment ignorance
it's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That's fine.
Because you just can't think of it. You can just think of it as a what if,
If? That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Absolutely.
It's a movie. It's entertainment. What if, right?
Yeah.
So many movies are so spiritual. And if you're atheist, you can just watch it and enjoy it. But just keeping in mind what if, right?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You got it. Yoichi Utebi has been our guest. Again, mastersaltmovie.com. October 21st is the date you're looking for. That's when it'll be released in limited theaters in North America. Also followed by release on video on demand and DVD. Again, more information is at mastersaltmovie.com. Yoichi, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. It was so much fun to talk to you.
Thank you. Folks, I want to remind you that this weekend is going to be a tough weekend for folks in Florida, even in the Atlanta area and in the Southeast. We want to send our thoughts and prayers out to those people, just more than thoughts and prayers. Again, folks, if you've got a few spare dollars, there's going to be some numbers out there that you can text this weekend that you can directly send aid to. I'm going to encourage you to please do what you can this weekend for people in those areas. I know President Biden has already started to roll out the aid from FEMA right away. Just please do what you can. Again, we pray for everybody who in Florida who's choosing to stay in place and choose not to evacuate. We understand where you're coming from, but we hope everybody gets through this okay and gets through Hurricane Ian okay. But please choose to take some action this weekend and help out those who are trying to get through Hurricane Ian. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening this week. We appreciate you guys for being great listeners of Darkness Radio. We appreciate Alan Warren for being on this week and Yoichi Utebi for being on this week. And of course, Beer City Bruiser for sitting in as co-host this week. Actually, he's our co-host every week. I shouldn't say he just sat in this week. He's our co-host every week. We love Beer City Bruiser. And of course, he's in the Carolinas. So the rumor is that Hurricane Ian may be heading for the Carolinas early in next week. So let's hope that it takes a turn way out in the Atlantic and misses the Carolinas and doesn't get near our brother Beer City Bruiser. So for Beer City Bruiser, for Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg. Jessica Freeberg, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for listening to the best in paranormal podcasting. I'm Tim Dennis. We'll see you next week right here on Darkness Radio.